He left off discussing various forms of chazakas based on the Russian Arsugia that writes the following Kiddush, that if you have that which is called Al-Tidin Echezka Smara Kama, the Poshub Shat is Dino Kimuksok, not just simply Echezka, a chazaka de Meikara, comparable to carriers of Isser Veheter. And what are the clear differences between chazaka de Meikara as opposed to concept of Muksok? So among the differences that we mention is what the Rush highlights, and that is whether we assume Polchin Achar Harov. On the one hand, the Gemara tells us in Kedushin Dapay that Ruva Chazaka, Ruva Abif, that Rov takes priority over Chazaka. On the other hand, we assume, like Shmuel Shita, Ein Hochin B'Mamon Acha Harov, the Sugim B'Basrin Dab Tzari Beis, and B'Vakamad Ab Chavzayim. How do you resolve that apparent difficulty? The answer is, these are two very different forms of Chazaka. When it comes to a concept of Chazaka de Me'ikara, then we assume that Ruva Chazaka, Ruva Adif. When it comes to the case of a Muksak, when a person has a Chezkas Mamon, then we assume Hamot Smecha Allah Haraya, and Hein Holke Mamon Acharav, we pointed out the Chiddush of Pnei Yeshua, and that is that this is the critical machlokis between Rav and Shmuel. If you just assume that Hamot Smecha Haraya is considered to be a Svar of Shuta, then that tells us that a Raya is necessary, but it doesn't address what form of Raya. If you're going to argue that normally the type of Raya that acceptable L'chol HaTarakul is insufficient when it comes to these cases, that L'chol requires some additional drushin, perhaps that's the Gzeres HaKosov. And that's why Rashi, for example, in Gittin cites the Makar of Mibal Dvarim when it comes to the principle of Hamotz Mechaber Olav Arayas. This distinction we saw explicitly in Truma Sadeshim, the right differences in Chezkas Mamon as opposed to cases of a Chazaka de Me'ikarim. Even in terms of how these chazakas function, there could be clear differences between them. We pointed out that one can imagine that klalei hara or hachra can be understood in one of two very different ways. Certain concepts or tools are for the purpose of birur, and other times it's for the purpose of nihug. Sometimes the Torah tells us how to act when the suffix is not resolved. Sometimes the Torah allows us to rely on this vehicle as a resolution. So he pointed out one Kiddush, the Tosus Nidan Dafei Zaman Alim, right? So we do have a principle of Suffik Tumah, differences between Rosh Hashayavah as opposed to Rosh Hasharabim. Poshub Shatan Tosus, that case is not a Psak Halacha of Birur. It's not that that is Mevarer. If it's Mevarer, why should there be such a clear difference between Rosh Hashayachid, Rosh Hasharabim? There's a difference in terms of the level of Birur. These are cases of Nihug, when indeed a suffix cannot be resolved. So we see from the Parsha of Sota, sometimes the Chumra, sometimes the Kula, but perhaps the suffix indeed is Bim Koma Omein. And therefore Tosfos writes the following Chiddush, that this principle of suffix to Rosh Hashayachid, Sveiko Tamei, only works Mikana L'Haba, does not work L'Mafreya. Isn't that a difficulty? If the tool is a proper one, and therefore it resolves the suffix, so what do you mean it resolves it from here on in, but not the Lafreya? Why in fact should that be? Perhaps that's exactly the answer, that this is a psak halacha of nihu, how to act given the fact that we have a suffix, and therefore one could envision that that could apply mikan lahaba, but not lamafreya. That's the first teretz that Tosfos gives, and up beizam and aleph. In fact, the Gemara has some focus regarding Edim Zomin, whether mikan lahaba hu nifsa, whether lamafreya hu nifsa. Normally speaking, if a person commits an avera, so in such a case, of course, it's not fair. And if so, why should one assume that Edom Zomin is considered to be different? Again, maybe that's the key in that issue. When you have Edom Zomin, is that really considered to be absolute Birur? In terms of Birur, why isn't that different than Hachasha? You have two Edom that are contradicting each other. Therefore, throw them all out. Why is it that we believe the second over the first? The Gemara calls that a chiddushu, and maybe therefore the psul is when mikan lahaba natma freya. Perhaps that can be understood in this light as well. That it's not an act of birur, but perhaps again this is how the Torah tells us we should act. Mikan lahaba, but the psul is not considered to one which is carried back lama freya. What about when it comes to cases of chazaka demeikara? So here, one could argue that maybe that's a form of nihud. Maybe one could argue, no, that's a form of birur. What was the source of chazaka de meikara, that sigi we saw chulin daf yud? The Kohen sees that there is a nega tzaras. He's about to declare the bayi, he says, being tame, so he seals it off, and then he declares it as being tame. How do you know that the simani tuma are present? The Gemara says, look, they were there a short while ago. We assume that they are still there. Is that considered to be a nihud? Is that considered to be birur? Maybe one could have argued that's birur. Now, it's not that there's a latest of suffix, and we don't know how to act, and therefore the Torah tells us that given that fact, therefore mikana l'haba, no, maybe that really means that that is considered to be an absolute form of birur. No, and that is that if you know this was true, and there's no grounds to assume that that has changed, we can assume what was true is true. That 5 minutes ago tumah was there, the tumah is there currently, even though the kohen can't see it at this particular moment. So on one level, maybe one could argue chazaka d'meikar is considered to be a form of birur, at least a degree of birur. But we pointed out the chiddush that Tosfos and Nazir and Daf Nun Zayin, where Tosfos writes that sometimes you can apply a concept of a chazaka d'meikar, a cheskas kashrus, even b'makom shi'i efshin lihios. If, for example, there's a case that I know one of two individuals are tame, but I don't know which one, the case is two nizirim, and someone comes forward and says that ra'isi tuma shenizraka b'nechem, so therefore I know one of you is tame, but I don't know about the other. This is a sefer versus a rabbin, so therefore sfeikot tahor. So Tosfos is bothered. How can you paskin that sfeikot tahor? We know that one of them is tameh, one of the psak halach is wrong. Well, that's similar to the Tosfos nidin of beis. Those principles of sefek tuma halachos of Nihug. So therefore one could argue as follows, that if you have a ches kastara and you are a nazir and there's a possibility of tumah, we have a right to assume that because there is a possibility of tumah, that is insufficient grounds in order to declare you as being tameh. And therefore we can apply that principle of a chazaka d'meikara, and therefore both are considered to be tahor. How is that possible? We know it's not true. It's not that we're contesting the edus that one of them became tameh. Paul Shabshat, one could argue as follows, that this is simply a psak halach of mihu. What do you do in this case where it is unknown whether an individual is tameh or tahor? So it's not that we are machria that neither one of them ever came in contact with tumah. The answer is that if the best we have is a safek, so therefore we have a right to rely on the chazaka d'neikar, and therefore presume that both are considered to be tahor. So Rabbi Chana makes the following further ha'ara. This is found in the Kovet Shirim B'Lavasra, in Os Ayin Ches. This is the Sugyan Dav Chav Gimel Amabeis. The Sugyan B'Lavasra Chav Gimel Sugyan Beis and Dav Yudam Amabeis deals with the following, the concept of Karov. That also is a klal that is relevant when it comes to Hora Hachra. Proximity. Karov. Now, when it comes to the case, for example, of an Egla Rufa, what is the case? Right, we don't know who is responsible for this individual who was murdered. So therefore, what happens? It is the Ira Krovela, is the closest city that takes responsibility for this. So sometimes the Torah says, when in doubt, when we don't know. So therefore, proximity plays a role as well. Good. So the Gemara raises there in Baba Basra as well in Beis and Daf Yud Mabeis. What happens if you have Rove versus Karov? What would happen in that particular case? Karov would mean, let's say, city A. But what about Rov? Good, there's another city which is somewhat more distant, but its population is much greater. So therefore, if a person has to weigh whether the possible Rotzeah came from A or B, you're right, one city is closer, but this is a much smaller city than the other city. So therefore, Hokanacha Harov would dictate the larger city. Hokanacha Karov would obviously mean the closer city. What would the halacha be in such a particular case? Good. Rabbi Chanan raises the following safek. What happens if there are cases of hachasha? Shnei kite edem achisho zezeh. You have a case of hachasha. When you have hachasha, let's assume, for example, it's a safek, no? You say A, B, they don't contradict, the safek still exists. Let's assume, for example, more edem come. There's more birur. Is that relevant? Is that relevant? Or is that not? Let's assume I have a chazak on my side. Does that help me? It's a case of trade connected trade. So two Adim say A, two Adim say B. Let's assume, for example, it's hachasha. A group of two Adim say A and four Adim say B. In such a case, you're going to treat it as hachasha. You're not going to say four wins. When it comes to Adim, it's trade kameya. So therefore, more Adim will come. Now, that still doesn't help. Now, it's still a case of hachasha. Adim say A, and there are Adim that say B. Again, Adim ksherim. So the fact that more Edom will come forward is not going to help me. It's still going to be a case of hachasha. So more Edom coming forward is not going to help in a case of trei keneged trei, after all, because trei command only when it comes to Edom. But what happens, for example, if you have trei keneged trei, but I have a raya on my side called karo? That supports me. Is that relevant? Or do you say no? Once it's trei keneged trei, if you were to bring Edom, it wouldn't help. So you're going to bring a raya based on chazaka, based on karo, that would not work. So this is where Baruch Hanna mentions the following chiddush, the different klalei horah. Sometimes, right, a principle is mevarer, and sometimes it's not mevarer. It's just halacha that you have a nihug when it comes to nihug. And here Rabbi Chanan points out the following. We know that ruba chazaka, ruba adif, the Gemara Kedushin Daf Hey, rov prevails over a chazaka. Chazan al cheskas mom, but chazaka demei kara. Why is that true? How do you know that that's true? Now, rov is a din daraisa, acharav mhatos, chazaka is a din daraisa, that's the sugin chulin daf yud. So if the Torah acknowledges both rov and chazaka, how do you know that ruba chazaka, ruba adif? Is there a pasuk? There's no pasuk. The Pesukim does indicate that the Torah recognizes each. But there is no pasuk to tell us which prevails if there's a contradiction. So how does the Gemara assume Ruba Chazak Ruba Adif? Rabbi Chanan writes, you must assume that this is a Svara. This is not a pasuk. There's no limud to tell us that Ruba Chazak Ruba Adif. It's based on Svara. Why should you assume that that's true though? The Torah recognizes both. Why should you say that Rov prevails over Chazak in a Meikara? So Rabbi Chanan writes us the following biur, and that is that, you know what? Really, it's not a contradiction at all. It's not that you have A versus B, Ro versus Chazak, and you have to weigh which is a greater raya. These are different domains entirely. Chazaka only begins when there is no birur. Mikvah shinma v'nin sochaser. No? The mikvah was kasher. At one point, now it is possible. We don't know at one point. If there was a way for us to find out, wonderful. Chazaka begins when the latest hasafik remains. There is no birur. Then you have to fall back on cases of chazaka. If we could determine which of this nazirim became tamei, finished. We're not going to invoke chazaka. Given the fact that we can't do so, now you can discuss the chazaka demeikara. That's the Kira Rabbi Chanan writes. Chazaka begins when there's no possibility of birur. If you could be mevarer, it's not a contradiction. Edim come and say A, but there's a chazaka to make kara of B. Would you say that's a problem? We have Edus on the one hand, chazaka on the other hand, and we don't know which one prevails. So therefore, it's reasonable to assume that Edus is better than chazaka. It doesn't even get off the ground. Chazaka begins when there's a latest hasafik. If two Edim come and say we saw that that nazir contacted Tuma, that's it, finished. He is tamei. Chazaka is when there is a suffix. Let us a suffix. The suffix is bimkom omen. So Rav Chanan writes, that's why ruba chazaka, ruba adif. Rov is mivare, rov is machria. When the Torah tells us acharav mahatos, that's not nihug. The Torah tells us that we have a right to assume that what normally occurs, the rov, is indeed the reality. No, unless we know differently. But that's holkanach harov. So therefore, based on Holkanach HaHarov, that is Mevarer. Ah, you have a Chazaka? No, Chazaka applies when there is no Rov, when there is no form of Birur. And therefore, the Gemara knows Misvara to assume that Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif. That Gemara Baba Basra and Dachav Gimel Beis, and the Gemara Beis and Dachav Yudam Beis discusses what if there's a contradiction between Rov versus Karov. And you know what the Gemara says? Rov prevails. Rabbi Chanan writes, that's exactly the same svar as Ruba Chazak, Ruba Adif. They're both in Daraisa. How do you know that Rov takes precedence over Karov? The answer is the following. Rov is Mivarer. Karov is not Mivarer. Now, in the case itself of Egla Rufa, we don't have any Birur. Now, the Rambam writes, the whole purpose of the Egla Rufa is to try to attain Birur. We're going to make a big rush about this person who was killed with the hope that that's going to help us solve this mystery. Someone's going to come forward. Karov is not meant as a way of being mevarer. Karov is midine nihu. So that's what the Gemara says, that rov a karov, in that case of holchin acharov. So that's the chiddush that Rav Chanan writes in those cases. This issue, in terms of chazaka demeikara, to what extent is it a measure of birur, to what extent is it completely considered to be nihu? So this is relevant for the following ha'ara of the Ketzos. This is found in Simen Lamed Dalet. The Rama in Sif Chav Gimel. Let's assume a person testifies in Beis Din. And Adam come forward that this person right, this apostle, this person who testified, this aid was an apostle because she'avra avera. But the difficulty is the following. There's a suffix which is involved. The Rama writes, "Avol ein yodim im avar kodem shehid o achar kach." We have a problem, right? We know an avera was done, but it's hard for us to trace the timeline. Right? A person who is posel machmas mavera is posel mishas avera, but we're having difficulty exactly pinpointing whether, in fact, at the time that that person testified, was he already an eid posel, or at that point was he an eid kasher? So the Rama quotes the Rivash. In that case, mukminan gavra adches kosa. The eid has a cheskos kashrus. That's the Rivash. So the Ksos writes in Sifkat Hay, he refers you to what he wrote in the Shev Smaitzen, Smaitzen Gimel Perek Dalet. Is that so simple? This Psak Halacha the Rivash. We mentioned earlier that case of mikvah shenimda v'nimtzu chatzin. The mikvah was kasher, now the mikvah is pasul. What happens to all the taros that were placed in that mikvah? So the Gemara says they're tameh. Why is that true? The Gemara says tarti d'reyesa. What is tarti d'reyesa? That on the one hand, we have a chazaka to make kara that the mikvah is kasher, but a chazaka to hash to the mikvah is pasul. But anything that went into the mikvah also was tameh. So therefore, tarti the reyasa, the cheftza remains tameh. Good. That's what we discussed a little bit, very briefly yesterday. So the Ksos writes the following kasha here. In this particular case, isn't there also a comparable instance? There's a chazaka d'meikara that at one point this person was an eid kasha, but right now he's definitely an eid pasul, similar to the mikvishim. But also, isn't there a cheskas mamon supporting the nitva? The nitva is being asked to pay. So isn't that comparable to the case of mitva shnimim suchaser, tarti the reyasa? Right now, this person is an eight pasul. Right now, there is a cheskas mamon on the nitva. So therefore, there are two chazakos that would tell you, forget about this aid. There's only one chazaka that at some point in time in history, the aid was an aid kasher. Yeah, that's like mikvah shnimim v'nimtzu chaser. At one point in time, it was kasher, but there are two compelling reasons to assume that's not true. That's the Ksos discussion. How do you justify this psak halacha and Rav Rivash? It might have. The Gemara Mefureshes, Mikveh Shnimda Minim Tzuchasim. So the Ktos quotes a Ha'ar of Tosus. The Tosus writes that maybe there's something unusual about that case of Mikveh Shnimda Minim Tzuchasim, and that really limits the case of Mikveh. Only in that case would you assume that's true. Why is that true? Because Tosus says the following Sfar Mishum, V'chaser V'osin, Chaser V'osin. You want to know what? Right now the mikvah is pasul, how far can we pull back? So you know what Tosus writes? Maybe the case of mikvah is a unique case. Because the mikvah becoming kosher, pasul, it was kosher, now it becomes pasul, that is a gradual process. Chaser va'asi, it's a gradual process. It doesn't happen in one brief window of time. So of course you have to pull back. But the water all evaporated now. It maintained the same water line and all of a sudden it plummeted. Obviously not. This was a gradual process. So it's also it's a very great Kiddush. Maybe only when it's a gradual process, then you're forced to kick back. But anything that would not be a gradual process, we can delay until the present. So that's the Chiddush that the Shev Smaitzen, the Ksos writes, no? That maybe that's true with the Eidus case. they became posel at Zman Kotsu because of an Aveira. That you don't have to pull back. That you can delay. The only time you have to pull back is when it comes to something where there's a possibility of Chaser V'asim. That is the resolution, the Ktos writes. So if you look at the Nesivas, right, and that's Simen Lamed Aleph, Sivkotin Tezvav, the Nesivas quotes, this Ktos, how is this case the Rivash different from Mikvah Shinimda V'nim Tzuchase? So the Nesivas writes the following, L'fiyani has daiti nira delo kosher. The Shani hasim betaros. The case of Taros is quite different. Why is that true? Because the Shnei ha-chazakos chazakos ha-mivarerosein. Interesting chiddush. Both of those chazakos serve as a form of birur. Serve as a form of birur. And therefore, umitztarfim levara shenechzar mikoda. That's interesting chiddush. Those chazakos serve as a form of birur. The fact that the mikvah is right now posel, the fact that the taros that were placed in the mikvah are tameh, that serves as a birur, that the taros never became tahor. And those chazakos could be combined. What the Gemara calls a combination of chazakos, tarti l'reyasa, tarti l'reyasa. What about in this case that the Ktos is discussing? You have two chazakos? What are the two chazakos? Well, this aid is an aid posel. He was a balavera, that's true. That says something about his character. That's a form of birur. Right now we know he is posel. What's the other chazaka? Chezkas mamon? Here, the Sivas writes the following chiddush. Chezkas mamon lav chazaka hamevareresu. That doesn't tell us anything, chezkas mamon. Chezkas mamon does not function as birur. The halach of chezkas mamon is she'en yecholim lahotzim yad hamuchzak b'lo raya. Either based on a svara, based on a pasuk. Whatever the source of hamotzim yechlav haray is. It's not that if you possess, there is an assumption, a birur process that you in fact owe. That's not true. That's a chiddush that the Nesivas writes. It's not that Bezma give up psak halacha, that that chafetz is absolutely yours, the nitvas. We're just simply saying that if you want to change the reality, you have to prove your case. So that's the chiddush that the Nesivas writes. You can only couple similar chazakos together. And that can take a weaker raya and make it into a stronger raya. Tarti l'reyasa. But hamotzi mechlav haraya is not addressing the reality at all. All it is saying is that there may very well be a suffix. When you go over to somebody and you say, your object is really mine, maybe you have a good claim. But unless you can prove that claim, we're not going to act on that. That's the chiddush that the Nesivas writes. Tarti l'reyasa is only in similar chazakos. Chazakos hamavaros. So it's interesting that a chazaka de meikara, that the Nesivas labels as a chazaka which results in a form of birur. It's not absolute birur, but a form of birur. And therefore you can combine chazakos to create a higher level of birur. Hamotz mechav haraya does not attempt to do that whatsoever. Right, when a person comes before a bezin and says, right, why don't you believe me? That chafetz that he possesses is mine. We turn to the person and say, it's not an issue of trust. We believe you, we don't believe you. A tana spelled in is insufficient. L'hotzi mamon. This is also a chiddush that you find in the Ktos and the Nesivas elsewhere. Right, in Simen Ayin Hei. At the very beginning of Hilchos Torah V'Nitzan. Here the discussion in the Ktos is the following, Modu Mikzas is Chai V'Shvud Araisa. How do you have cases of Modu Mikzas? Well, there are two cases of Modu Mikzas and possibly a third case. One case of Modu Mikzas is literally Modu Mikzas. You come and you say that you owe me 100, and the response is 50 yes, 50 no. It's a hodah b'miktas. Hodah b'miktsas. Then there's another case of Hodah b'miktsas, and that is what we call Tana d'Rabbi Chiya. The Gemara above Metzin Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. What is that? Edim. The Tobiah says that you owe me $100, and there are Edim that confirm that $50 is owed. The other 50, they didn't say, we don't know. I can't tell you what happened with the balance, but I can tell you that there is money which is owed, $50. So therefore you have Edus on half. So that's Tana d'Rabbi Chiya. The Nitzvis Chai v'Shvu d'Araisa on the balance. That's also a form of Modo v'Miktsas. One is through a Hodaz Baldi, the other is through a Ha'adas Ha'inim. Explicit. What the Ksos discusses, which is a fascinating machlokas, is what about a psak din of bezdin? Can a psak din of bezdin create the shvud arayis of modu miktas? Let's assume, for example, you have a case where the toveya says you owe me $100. And let's say the nitva responds in such a way that bezdin will paskin that you owe part. But it's not a hodas baldin. Well, we discussed earlier that Kvar Babakama Kuf Yud Ches. Let's say the nitva responds and says, I don't know. The Tavea says, you owe me $100. And the nitva says, I don't know. So that was the case of Bari Peshema. We don't say Bari is Adif Lahotzi. What does I don't know mean? Well, so that we discussed in Naschod and in the cases of Chinami Al-Pinkasa. What does I don't know mean? Sometimes I don't mean Zen Yodei Im Mischayavti. Sometimes I don't know is any Yodei Im Praticha. Right? I admit that that was true at one point, but maybe I paid you back. In that case, there is a Cheskas Chiyuv, no? Well, so let's say, for example, the Tovea comes and says, right, you owe me $100. And I respond and say, $100? I never borrowed $100. I borrowed $50 from you. In any Odeim Praticha. But I don't even know if I owe you a penny. Because I remember going to pay you back. I don't know whether I actually gave you the money or not. What is Bezin going to pass on that particular issue? Bezin is going to pass in any Odeim Praticha. Lamdus, no. Chizkas Chiyu. You're chayiv to pay 50. So that's the issue that Ksos raises. Is there a shvu d'arais of moda miktas in the balance? Here you have a chiyuv b'miktas as a result of what? Not a hodos baldin. Baldin didn't admit to owning anything. And there aren't any eidim. But there's a psak din of bezdin that part is owed. That's a fascinating issue. Can a psak din of bezdin result in a shvud arayis of modu miktas? And the Ksos describes that this is a machlokas rishon. According to the Rambam, no. According to the Ramban and the Gonim, yes. There are definitely two different cases of modu miktas, al yidei hodar, al yidei edim. Can there be a case of modu miktas, al yidei psakt and abezdin? Let's say a person says that you took 10 objects of mine. And I say, I didn't take 10 objects. I took one thing, but you know what? That was mine. In chatvi, vidi chatvi. So again, you can have a case where there could be a psak din of bezdin that you're chayiv for one. Does that require a shvud arayis of miktas on the balance? So the Ksos tries to justify again the Rambam Shita that there's no shvuah of modu miktas. On what basis? Because the Ksos says the following. Wait a second. When there is a hodos baldin, or when there are Aiden come forward and say 50 you owe. What about the other 50? I have no clue. Then there's a shvuah arayis of modu miktas. When you have a psak din of bezdin that a person is chayiv half, so the Ksos entertains the following svara, that there is a psak din of bezdin that half yes, and the other half, no. Bezin's psak halachi is what? In that case that I mentioned. 50 you must pay, 50 you are potter. So the Ksos writes, what the Rambam writes is very mistaber. Why should there be a shvud araisa? Bezin issued a psak halacha, 50 yes, 50 no. So what do I have to make a shvud for? 50 no. The psak din of Bezin was 50 yes, 50 no. So therefore, there's no shvud araisa in that particular case. So that's what the Nesivos responds and says, no, that's not true at all. This is the Nesivos in Siman Ayin Hei and Sifkot and Dalet. The psak din of Bezin is not 50 yes, 50 no. The psak din of Bezin is 50 yes and 50 hamotzi mechal avarayim. 50 you must pay. It's not that we are issuing a psak halacha that the other 50 you are potter. We're telling you regarding the other 50, the safek is there. Hamotzi mechal avarayim, the tavei, you have to yet, as of yet, prove that. It's not a psak halacha liftur. It's an absence of anything. Hamotzi mechal avarayim. And Hamotzi mechal avarayim, that's the Nesivos Reis, the Shita Seva, the Nesivos Reis, on Siman Lamed Daled, is not a form of birur at all. All Bezin is saying is, it's up for grabs. But there's no way in the world we are going to emotzi mamon based on such a suffix. But maybe one could argue, as the Ramban and the Gonim write, if it's 50 yes and 50 is up in there, a shvud araisa, moda mitkas. That's where the Nesivos uses the svar again. That just because Bezdin says potter does not necessarily mean birur potter. It can just mean emotzi mechal avarayim that we have no clue. But whenever that is the case, so therefore we have no choice but to assume, let everything remain the way that it is. This is what you find in that Kuntras HaSveikos, right, that I pointed out to you, right, in Alevav, where the Kuntras HaSveikos writes the following, that if you have a Chezkas Mamon, just a Chezkas Mamon, without any other type of Chazaka that works, that is called a chazaka sheina machrasi. That is not birur at all. And the Kuntras HaSveikos goes on to argue as follows. An interesting issue. When Bezdin will say hamotzi mechal avarayim, does that really mean that the chayfetz belongs to the toveya? Does it really mean that the chayfetz belongs to the toveya? The toveya comes, and they say, this chayfetz is mine. And Bezin turns to the toveya and say, you know, you have to prove your case. He doesn't prove it very well. Now, maybe he has a migo, maybe he has a rove, but he doesn't have the proper edus. So Bezin says, look, hamotzi mechal avarayim. But does the nitva possess that chayfetz b'toras vaday? Because Bezin declared hamotzi mechal avarayim. A fascinating issue that Kuntras HaSveikos raises. This is in Os Ches. In cases where there is a safek mamon, in Bezin will state hamotzi mechal avarayim. What happens if the nitva is mekadesh and isha with those mamos? Is that a vaday kedushin? Or is that a safek kedushin? Bezin paskin hamotzi mechal avarayim. So, in civil law, I mean, I'm entitled to keep the chayfetz in the sense that the one who claimed that you're a thief and you took that from me and it's mine didn't prove his case. But if I am mekadesh and isha with those mamos, is that a vaday kedushin or is that a safek kedushin? Interesting finish. And here the Kuntras HaSveikos writes a very great finish. That should depend on a major machlokas rishonim regarding tefisa. The Rambam writes a chiddush. It's found in Hilchos Bechoros in Perek Beis Halacha Hey. Also in Perek Hey of Hilchos Bechoros Halacha Gimel. When you have a suffek and hamotz mirchav haraya, tfisa works. Tfisa works. Let's assume you have a case of a suffek bachar. That's the Rambam's case. A suffek bachar. So the Rambam writes that, look, there are two elements when it comes to suffek bachar. Number one is that animal might have a kedushas bachar. That's a suffek of Yisr. Number two is if it's a bachar, it's mamon kohen. So what do you do in the case of suffek bachar? The Rambam writes, yira ad shi yisdayev, yira ad shi yiva bamum, v'yolcho lebalav. You can't eat it for kedusha. Maybe you have to offer the sagam mizbeach. So wait until nafal bamum. If nafal bamum, it certainly has no kedusha. What's the shaila now? Is it your mamon or is the mamon kohen? Samot tzimich lav haraya. You have a suffek bachar. Then the Rambam has the chiddush. However, v'im tapas ha-kohen, ein motzino sami yadam. Tfisa works. Ah, very great chiddush the Rambam shita. Tfisa works when it comes to a suffek mamon or bez mopaskin hamotz mechlav haraya. Because apparently, according to the Rambam, motz mechlav is not mivarer. It's not machria. It's not that the suffek is resolved. Bezin just simply says that the evidence is insufficient. But if the coin will be toface, and now you want to be motz the mamon miyad hakoin, Bezin is going to turn the tables and say, well, right now he's the mosak. And we'll turn to you, the Yisrael, and say, Hamotzi mechaver lav haraya. That's a very fundamental machlokas rishonim, tfisa. So Kuntas Fekas writes a pretty incredible chiddush that if you have a case where Bezin will pask and Hamotzi mechaver lav haraya, and you're mekadish and isha with that, maybe that should depend on this machlokas rishonim, whether tfisa works. If tfisa works, you see it's not a hachara whatsoever. In such a case, safek kedushin. If you're going to say when Bezdin states Hamotzi mechlav haraya, it's a psak halacha that this is absolutely yours, because possession is bailus unless you can prove otherwise, and tfisa would not work. So maybe in that particular case, of course, then it would be a vaday kedushin if the nitf is mekanish and isha. Right, an interesting chiddush. Right, if you have a machlokas regarding a lulav and esrog and bezin lo paskin hamotzi mechlav haraya, is that called lachem? No, is all bezin saying that there was insufficient evidence, or are we saying that it's a form of biror? So these are differences lahalacha in terms of different types of chazaka, and differences in terms of lamdus in the chazakas. How in fact they will function. Right? This is critical in terms of this rush. Right? Rabbi Chanan points out, just mentioned, the two ways of understanding chezkas marakama. To what extent is it a chazaka to meikara? To what extent that's considered to be a chezkas mama? See, there is a potential just irony in the following, that a chezkas mamon is stronger even though it may not be a birur at all, like the Nesivos writes. Because imotzi mamiyan hamuchzar. A chazaka demeikara may be birur to an extent, but it's insufficient birur to imotzi mamon. But maybe the Nesivos writes like Tarta the Reyesa. Maybe you can pile up enough chazakos that will say this becomes a rayim uchachas. So on the one hand, one could argue again that in a certain sense chazak nemeikara is very weak. On the other hand, what it does accomplish is that to a measure it's considered to be a possible form of bir. Okay. Now the Gemara continues, right? And Daf Mem Vav mentions the following. What about this new case of niskadsha shalodasavia and venise shalodasavia? The father was out of the loop entirely, in the sense that he did not express explicitly his das, neither for the kedusha nor for the nisuin. However, in this case of the Gemara, the avi hakan, right? But the father's present. So what happens in such a case? So the Gemara says that according to Rav Huna Ocheles, she is able to eat truma. According to Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Eino Ocheles. Eino Ocheles, we understand. No, Eino Ocheles. The father didn't express any das at all. What is the svara of Rav Huna? To somehow argue that that changes? So here the Gemara says that Hol v'nasa by ma'ase yisama b'chai ha'av. She's comparable to yisama b'chai ha'av. In which case, somehow, her acceptance, kedush nisun, is considered to be legitimate. How does that work? So Rashi mentions a couple of possibilities. One Rashi writes is the following, that perhaps hifkir schushi eshlo. The father's here, and he's sitting back and doing nothing. Completely uninvolved. So apparently, hifkir schushi eshlo. He renounces his right. That's reason one of Rashi. Oh, Rashi says, Shesichaso hoda, shtika koda. Not that he renounces. He's masking. If he objected, you would have heard. Right? He's there, he sees the Neiris, he sees Nisu, and he's sitting there smiling. Good enough. That's considered to be an act of hoda. Those are Rashi's two possibilities. How you can assume that somehow this Isha has legitimacy. Bnei Yeshua points out, in the sugya, that there should be a fundamental difference regarding these reasons. If you assume that it's based on a hodah sa'av, shtika kahodah, so therefore this is considered to be a kedushin daraisa. This is an absolute ishus daraisa. We learned earlier at the beginning of the sugya that sometimes zechiyah can work. You saw the Rosh, the Ran, Rashi. Havidei komer tziva kabli kedusha sayich. So if the shtik is koda, and therefore it is an expression of the ratzon ha'av, that would result in a kedushin daraisa. That would mean the following. Rav Huna says, therefore ocheles. What does ocheles mean? Poshav Shanit means Ocheles b'Truma, even Truma Daraisa. Fully. She's Mamash in Asua. In the suffix we raised in the previous cases of the Gemara, what about other halachas of Nisuin? Yeah, that's full Nisuin. If the Baal is a Kohen, and she would die, he would be Metamala. Shtika Koda. If she will be Mezana, this is an Eishas Eishas Insan, there's a Chiv Misa, Chiv Chenek. If you assume Shtikas Koda, so it's an expression, an implicit expression of Ratzon. And as we saw earlier in the Sugyas, that Ratzon Ha'av, according to the Rush, according to the Ran, according to Rashi, works and it works Lama Freya. Siva Kavli, a form of Zechia, means Chila Kotel Nacherim, but Ba'aratzma certainly is. Right? The Chiddush of the Rush. What happens if you assume that first teretz of Rashi? How in the world does it work according to Rav Huna Ocheles? Hifkir schushi eshlo. So what exactly does that mean? So father is mafkir his schus. But how, therefore, is the kedushin chal? So the father is out of the picture, and he has not expressed his ratzon. But since there's no counterforce, it's as though she is accepting it on her own. How can that hifkir schusul al kedushin to be chal? If a ketana has no yad lekabel kedushin, the Pnei Yeshua writes that according to this chiddush of Rashi, hifkir schusul, this is only kedushin derabbanan. This is not Yishus Deraisa. And that's exactly the mashal. What does it mean? She's like a Yesome B'chayav. It means this is not Felicius. Not just that her father has abandoned her. Like she has no father. No, it means that this is not a full Kedushin. If you look in the Tosas earlier, Daf Mem Hei Mabeis, the Maskel, the Feirish, Tosas quotes the Shiltos, Ketana Shehola Chavil Adina Sayam, the father's gone. We don't anticipate the father's returning. So Tosas quotes him the Shiltos, Shehi Yechol Nihizkadesh Midrabanan, Kedin Yesoma Ve'en La'av. The Tikna Rabanan Kedush, Mishim Hefker. In a case where the father is long gone, the Chachamim were misakin, it's as though she has no father. And therefore there can be Kedushin, Derabanan. That's the Shiltos. And at the end of the Tosas quotes Rabbi Natan stating this similar Kiddush in the name of the Halachas Kedavos. Halachas goes and the Shiltos assume, if Halach Avim Vim Sayam, the Chacham will allow for Kedushin, Derabanan, not a Kedushin Daraisa. The Pashav Shabbat that's comparable to this case according to the first day in Rashi. It's good. The father is not the Dina Sayam, but the father, right, is blank. Why, if he was some Shtika Koda, no, he's accessing Ratzon. If there is no Ratzon which is being ascribed, so this is Hifkir Schuso. Hifkir Schuso, Tosu Sandaf, Mem Hei Rebei. It's a form of the Kedushin, the Rabbanam. According to this reason of Hifkir Schuso, when Ravuna says, Ocheles b'truma, what does that mean? Completely. She can eat truma daraisa. In the earlier cases, at least the erisin was done midasa'av. So midaraisa rusabas yisrael ocheles b'truma. But here, even the erisin is questionable. That also is based on hifkir schuso. And if that is my condition derabanan, how ocheles b'truma? Hoshab shat, this would mean ocheles b'truma derabanan. A chiddush, not all truma. Drabanan. Why do I say Drabanan? If you look at the Mishnah in Gitna, Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, the Mishnah has the following case. Ketana bas Yisrael shenisis takon achalas b'trum. That's what the Mishnah says. A ketana bas Yisrael shenisis. In the case of nisis takon, she can eat truma. So Rashi writes, what do you mean? Of course, no. This is talking about a Yesoma. If the father marries her off, hey, it's Yishus Deraisa. We're talking about Rashi writes, Vihi Yesoma, Do Havi Nisu and Elami Drabanan. If there's no father, this is a Kedushin Drabanan. Kedushin Drabanan, Nisu and Drabanan, Yishus Drabanan. So Tosa says the following. No, if this is only Yishus Drabanan, that's the case in the Mishnah. So how is it possible Achelas B'Truma? So Tosus writes in Gittin and Haman after Masach of Va'al, the Truma Drabanan Ayre. This is not real Truma. Whenever you have a case of a Kedushin Drabanan, it means Truma Drabanan. Otherwise, this would be an Akira Stavimina Torah. The Chachamim's Takana to allow a woman to marry cannot be an Akira Stavimina Torah B'Kum V'Sei to allow her to eat Truma Daraisa. Unless you assume Tosa cites Big Mani Vamos and Avtali that Yesh Kof Miarchom Nakadom in the Torah, even Bukum Vasei. Then Tosa just continues and says the following: Can tell Mar that maybe this could even be Truma Daraisa? Because even if it's Truma Daraisa, so what's wrong? What's wrong? You have a Zara who's eating Truma. Yeah, but isn't there a way out? The Zara eating Truma, that's true, but she is a Ketana. That's the whole problem. She's a Ketana. So good, you have a Ketana who's eating Truma. So maybe she's allowed to eat Truma. Truma Drabanan, well, she's an Eishas Ish Drabanan. Truma Daraisa, well, she's a Ketana. But Tosa says, wait a second, is that so simple that I can sit back and watch a Kutner Ketana violate Navera and do nothing? The Tosas has two Aras. That Tosas isn't given. Daf Nun Hei. Har number one is the following. This is a big issue in Yevamos and Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. about cutting off on the velus, whether bez mesina afrisha. If you see a cutting doing something wrong, can I sit back and do nothing? And then Tosos goes a step further. Oh, wait, this isn't just sitting back and doing nothing. Vod mashma Tosos says, achifimu machilo biyadayim. What's happening with this truma? Doesn't it mean that the husband is giving, the husband is the kohen, is providing truma to his wife? That's called machilo biyadayim. Machilo biyadayim is nisa daraisa. Forget about the fact you're dealing with the katana. That's an issa daraisa on behalf of the gadol. And then Tosos says a third har. Tosos says va'od mashma afilu chigadlo chalas mikarze. The Mishnah says a ktana can eat truma. The implication is that the Mishnah should mention a caveat. But man, drama murim, when she is a ktana, but when she becomes a gdola, oh, you have to stop. Va'od mashma Tosos says afilu chigadlo chalas mikarze. As a result of this kedushin, she can continue to eat. What do you mean she can continue to eat? So that's why Tosa says, because the only thing we've been allowing her to eat is Shuma Drabanan. And this is Ishus Drabanan. Whenever you have an Ishus Drabanan, whenever the Mishnah will tell you Achelas B'Shum, it means Achelas B'Shum Drabanan. That's very relevant for our issue. Here, Argamar says, according to Rafuna, Achelas B'Shum. And Rashi has two possibilities, Hifkir Schusa or Shtika Koda. Shtika Koda is Ratzon, that's Ishus Daraisa. Hifkir Schusa, there's right on the Ishus Drabana, like Tosa said in Afman Hay. So what did Rav Huna mean, Ochelas Betruma? According to Shtika Koda, Truma Daraisa. According to the first, only Truma Drabana. Truma Daraisa? No, absolutely not. She's not an Ishus Ish Daraisa. And you can't necessarily sit back and allow a ktana to do that which is wrong. And furthermore, certainly you cannot be machila biyadayim. Then the Gemara continues with the following. What happens, Tafman? Vavim and Aleph, if the kedushin was shelo ledas aviyah, ktana shniskadsha shelo ledas aviyah. So the ratzon ha'av is pending. We learned before, but the av can still subsequently express his ratzon. And we have five different possibilities. No, not the shul tzricha get. So all of a sudden, Rav says the following: Ben hi ben aviyah yachal ha'akim. Not only the father, but even she can prevent the issues from being chal. And Rav Asi disagrees and says, he, what do you mean? She already expressed, she was mekabelas the kedusha kesef. The father's ratzon is pending. The father can object, but not her. So according to Rav, ben hi ben aviyah, according to Rav Asi, only aviyah. So again, in a case of Ketanish Nizkatsha Shalovadas Aviha, Machlok is Rav Ravasi, what role does she play? Can she prevent the issues from being chal? The father, absolutely yes. Whether she can, that's the Machlokas. So what we'll have to discuss is the following. What is the Machlokas in Rav Ravasi? And how this relates to our earlier case. Let's assume, for example, like the Ritzvah, no? Daf Mendal and Abed. How do all these things work? How do all these issues work? The Ketan is Mekabeles, and the father subsequently finds out, where was the vehicle of Kedushin? So the Ritzvah, for example, said the very great Kiddush, this is only Din Arev, no? This is only Din Arev. So I ask you a very important question. What's the halacha in a case of din arev? What role does that other person play? Tain man the pon of a kaddish ani lach. Give the money to him, and I will marry you. the him. Is any das necessary in his part? Tain man le poli bekane shani lach. Does he have to be mekabel the ma'os? What would the halacha be in the following case? I don't say tain man le poli bekane shani lach. What would happen if the following? Zrok man liyam viskane shani lach. She says to the guy, take the money, throw it in the river, and I will marry you. Is that also a condition? You need some form of a zechia, some type of acceptance of the third party. In other words, in the din arev, well, obviously, his das is necessary, her das is needed. But what about this third party? What happened in Zrok? Man liyam is kadosh anilach. Is that good? Is that not good? This is a pretty critical machlokes. Take a look at the Rishonim, the Sugya of Chesam and Beis, with the Ran, the Chedushi Harashba. Take a look at the Ritva. Zavdi Miluim discusses this in Simen Chavtes and Sivkat Vav. When it comes to Din Arev, we mention, for example, one possibility of Arev, Tahi Hana. If all it is Zahiyana, what does that mean? The fact that you are listening to my instruction, that's worth something to me, no? That's worth a Shavapruta. I say, jump and you jump. That's worth something, no? Well, in that case, I can say anything, no? I don't have to say, tain man le ploni. I can say anything I want. The woman can say, if you'll listen to me, you'll take that money and you'll destroy it, right? Zahiyana, I will marry you. Or is it more than that? Teiman l'ploni v'kane shani lach means that the Kabbalah sploni is considered to be sufficient. Maybe this is relevant to our issue. If the whole mechanism, again, is midin arev, that's what Ritva writes, so what is the Gemara saying? The father's ratzon is expressed, the baal's ratzon is expressed, but can the isha say no? Well, perhaps that depends on this issue. What is the vehicle of the Kedushin? Right, in such a case. Is it an independent matan also we started to discuss? Is it just a hihana? Right, that should be critical. And then what about according to the other Rishonim? Not the Ritzvah, that this is working midin arev. The whole possibility of Kedushin in these instances is not midin arev, but some form of zechia, some form of shlichos. So now you have machlokas in Rav and Rav Asi. What role does she play? Can she say no? Right? What exactly is the machlokas in those terms? If indeed it's the case of zechiyah. Okay, so that's Hashem will pick up. Right? This thing in Avnei Vav. Take a look at the Rishonim in the test, and then Avnei Miluim in the test.